happy 26th day of the Omer to you all. Today's daf is Daf Yud Ches. We're up to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beit at the bottom. So Shammai Omrim, we've completed now the section of the various Gezeros that we've had. And you'll notice that Gezeros up until this point have been not simply Nogea Shabbat, but we've talked about Gezerot as a whole. We've been going through a lot of history that revolves around Gezerot. What happened, what Gezerot were made early on, from the time of Yossi ben Yoezer's Melech, going all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, through the time of Yossi ben Yoezer, through the time of the centuries before the Churban, and then the various stages, Usha, Yavna, and so on afterwards. So it's clear that the subject of Gezerot per se, not simply because we're talking about, happens to be that we talked about various Gezerot that were Erev Shabbos oriented, the sugya of Gezerot per se is fundamental to the first parak of Shabbos. Why that's true is something that we'll have to speak about Bezrat Hashem at the Siyum. But we can up until this point, we've spoken about gezerot that are not concerning other elements other than what it is that you shouldn't do on an Erev Shabbat because of the possibility of coming to a malacha. From this point on, we're going to talk about various gezerot that have to do with malachot that are actually being done. Not that you might come to do a malacha. The malacha is going to be done. The question is whether there's a problem of setting up the malacha to be done before Shabbat. Now this doesn't necessarily mean that it has to revolve around Gezerot, because one way of looking at that topic is that there should be a new concept called Shvitat Kelim. Shvitat Kelim means that besides a person not doing malacha on Shabbos, and besides his behema not doing malacha on Shabbos, and his eved, and so on, we also have a remez in the pasuk, as we'll see, that even the things that he owns should not be osik in doing malacha on Shabbos. And that's one possible way of learning this Mishnah, that it's not necessarily nogea dinei gezerot bichlal, but rather that it's talking about an actual new concept of shvitat kelim. So says the Mishnah. Oh, Sabra Josh is here to start.
There
we go. Ein shorim dyo v'samanim v'kashinim. Here it says you're not allowed to take the one who's saying the daf yomi and put him into a cup of tea on Erev Shabbos when it's boiling hot outside.
34.
The reason being that he may melt on Shabbos. And then you won't be able to have a daf afterwards. But Beit Shammai also adds other takanos. That we don't put it, that's Richie's chair.
That's my guy's
chair. Richie's back.
Richie's back.
Let's try this again. Okay. Ein shorim dyo v'samanim v'kashinim. These are various things that you'd have to put into water. And putting it into the water is the equivalent of a malacha, for some reason, when it's complete. So dyo, we'll see, putting ink into water is viewed as gibur. So that's the way in which you mix the ink and the water. Samanim, similar idea. You put in various things that need to be soaked in water until they turn into a dye. Kashinin is veggies that are used for animal feed. There too, they have to be mixed with water and softened. Eating. And the time that you can do this needs to be completed, says Beit Shammai, Kadesh Yisholu Mi Ba'odiyom. You have to complete this in time for the malacha to be done on Friday, because otherwise you'll be doing this malacha on Shabbat. That's what the problem is. Beit Hillel Matiri. Beit Hillel says it doesn't matter. As long as you take care of it, Mi Ba'odiyom, what happens on Shabbos proper is really not important. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Notrim Unim Shel Pishtan L'Toch HaTanur Ela Kedei Eshiya Havilu Miba'odion. The Unim Shel Pishtan are the Pishtan itself has in it these very hard to break and thick seed pods which need to be softened, and part of that process is that the Unim are soaked and put into an oven in which they're kept hot for a while, and this breaks them down, and then you're able to get the threads from it. So this has to be done for the heat, to already heat them up, miba odyom. Velo tatsemer liyore. No, you can't put in wool into a vat full of hot dye, elikadeshi klo ta'ayin. It has to be completed, the dyeing has to be completed before nightfall. Ubejila matirin. Beit Shammai omri, ein porsin mitzudot chaya ve'ofot v'dagim, elikadeshi yitzodu miba odyom. Beit Shammai says you can't spread traps. Again, we'll see what type of traps we're talking about. Unless that is going to trap miba odyom. That's a little strange. I mean, you never know, do you? You know? I mean, what exactly? This is certainly a whole different way of looking at it. In the Yerushalmi, the understanding is that it's in a place that is full of animals or full of fish. And it's just a matter of having them go in, plus there's only room for one. Because otherwise this could go on the whole time. However, we'll see when we get into the sugya, there's other ways of understanding it. I mean, there's also, if the question would be, I mean, Tosfos is bothered by the question of, well, what's really wrong since you're not doing anything afterwards, right? In other words, he takes for granted that we're talking about that as soon as you put it up, something would come right in, from which Sabrishonim or Medayik, and it appears that when it comes to Samachonim rather, Medayik, and when it comes to Tzeda, that unless the tzeda is going to be accomplished by the act that you did, it would just be a groma. I put something there, something wanders in, so that's a groma beyoma. That's not my tzeda. So if when I put it down, I know that putting it down, something is there and going to pop in right away. So I'm putting a net there and it's full of fish. So then that's tzeda. But if not, the Chazon Ish argues on that whole tiud, because this is the same thing is true. You could say that the passivity, it comes after a long time, would mean that if you take a piece of bread, put it into a warm oven, and, you know, then I forget about it. Let it cook on its own. You know, I mean, there's no such thing. What do you mean, let it cook on its own? Depends how you define the malach of tzeda. So, I mean, maybe if this is the definition of the malach of tzeda, why would it mean that my act has to cause the animal to be right now encompassed? And if I put in motion a process which ultimately confines the animal to a smaller space, and the walls are closing in on him, I mean, why wouldn't that be a tzeda too? So perhaps this is the malach of tzad. Again, it's not really our sugya.
When I say the fish catches itself.
Yeah, that's basically the question. That's, I mean, Tosfos is including that issue. What does that have to do with me? That's what a groma means. I set something up and through what I set up, it turns out that this is accomplishment. It wasn't something that I did.
Is catching a one-time thing, or is it continuing okay, on well, three months inside?
No, it's a one-time thing, but when we get to it, I mean, we had the case of the tzvi before where that was an issue, remember? The guy gets up, leaving the other guy there. It's not a new mice of tzeda. I mean, that's basically the case that you're talking about. That was the havamir. But again, it's a mishnah later on, so let's wait till we get there. Another machlok at Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on this issue is that Beit Shammai omrim ein mochrin lenochri ve'in tohanim imo ve'in magbiim alav ela kedei sheyagia lemakom karov. Now clearly this is not the same question, because here we're not talking about, there's no way we could learn that this is Shvitat Kelim, nor is there any way that we can learn that this is a gezeira that you might end up continuing to do this on Shabbat, because it's not an issur to say, or to put something on a goy on Shabbat. So even if it would be an actual shlichut, it would only be an issur d'rabbanan. So we're going to ask for doing it before Shabbos, because it seems a little bit strange. Here, we're clearly going to have to enter into the realm of a new issue. Rashi later on says that the question here includes the concern that people will think that he's having the goy do this malacha for him on Shabbos, and therefore they'll come to, in general, be matir, the amir la'akum. But this is something that we need to go into when we get to it in the Gemara. Furthermore, and Beis Hillel is matir with all of these cases, im ha-shemesh, as long as the sun is still shining, you can go and, did I say notimorot? No, I'm sorry. Furthermore, Beit Shammai remain notimorot la'avdan, You're going to be giving in now your skins to a tanner, or your clothing into a dry cleaner. And all of this is to a goy, obviously, who's going to perhaps do the malacha on Shabbos. You have to give it in so that it would be finished before Shabbos. In all of these cases, Beit Hillel says, look, you bring it into the dry cleaner 5 minutes before Shabbos. What's your problem when he does it? Omer Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, I want you to know that Lamaisa, we were makbid, even though we paskin like Hillel, Noagim ayu beit haba, shayu notnim klei lavan lekoveis nofri, shlosha yamim kodem l'shabbat. White clothing, which is more difficult to get clean than colored clothing, where you have to be makbid on every last speck. So that takes a long time. We were makbid not to give it into the cleaners for 3 days before Shabbos. V'shavin elu ve'elu she'to'anim korot beit habad v'igulei habad. Basically, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are moda that after you've already started the process of pressing the grapes and pressing the olives, there's no problem of putting on additional pressure so that that, so you take a large board, a pile of board, they used to gradually increase pressure. And you can do this before Shabbos, even though Lamaisa, it's going to continue now to compress those grapes and those olives, which will force the liquid out of them, over the course of Shabbos.
Put it on Shabbos?
No. Before Shabbos. So that you
continue
working. All of the cases in the Mishnah were questions of what things will be done on Shabbos from what you did before Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah makes an assumption. And we seem to be talking here about a gzeirah, perhaps. Certainly all of the other cases are cases in which if you did do it on Shabbos, you would be chayav chatas, which implies that the dio, it would be a chayav chatas. You take a dry ink, put it into water, but that would be a chayav chatas on Shabbos. Well, what would it be? The only thing that it might be is actually the Sharia itself is the equivalent of gibul, which is lash. Because I'm mixing it with water. Mixing with water is essentially the pu'ulav lisha. Although you would have thought that lisha requires gibul, actual smushing things together, not just simply allowing them to mix with water. Which means that our tana, mantana nitinat mayim lidyo zogi shriyatan. So who would be the man di Omar who would say that even though there was no gibul because all you were doing was letting it soak in the water and spread itself, soften up and so on, who would that man di Omar be who would say that that's dash, lash? Rabbi Yosef, that must be Rebbe, the Tanya. In a case where echad notenet hakemach, echad notenet hamayim, haacharon chayav divi Rebbe, a guy puts down some kemach, some flour, somebody comes along and pours water into the flour. Says Rebbe, the one who pours water did the act of lisha. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says, well, he hasn't done anything yet. You would need gibul, you would need to actually mix it for it to be called lisha. Omale Abaye, now, says Abaye, you're jumping to a conclusion over here that Rabbi Yosef would disagree about the ink, because I mean, I understand that when you're talking about flour, you don't get very much of a dough unless you mix it. It doesn't help to simply let it soak, but maybe that's only with flour. I mean, that's the way in which you need to do a maisa of lash when it comes to something like flour which won't mix spontaneously. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is moda on things that aren't meant to be mixed together through forcing water through it and creating a sort of gel. Like the dio, eventually it goes into the solution. So who's to say that Rabbi Yossi would disagree that this is the way that it's done? You don't need any more. Maybe that he's. It's not that he disagrees that the concept of lisha includes mixing substances in water. He agrees to that. All he says is that it depends, of course, what the substance is. If the way in which you mix such a substance with water effectively is only through gibul, such as by kemah, then that's the form of its lisha. But if it can be done without mixing, or if mixing makes no sense, then the form of the Lisha, maybe this is Rebbe said, simply putting it in. So maybe he would be Modan. You're making it into a Machloket in our Mishnah. No, lo sakadai. Don't even consider that. The Tanya, we know that that's not true because there's clearly a Shita that says that there's no such thing as a Lisha without mixing, because there's two Braitos that seem to be contradictory. In one of them we have Tanya Echad Notenet Ha'efer Ve'echad Notenet Hamayim Achron Chayat Divrei Rebbe Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Omer Achi Gabel. Now if you're going to, it says over here the same thing. You're talking about mixing Efer. Efer is ash. You can't make a gibel out of ash. You can mix it with water, and you can get a dark water, but you certainly can't mix it. Now, if you're going to say...
What's it for?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe you can use it to write secret messages in class, or it's all kinds of things.
No, it's just an Efer.
It's a wonderful thing. Not necessarily, no. We'll see in a moment. It's not necessarily. Obviously, it's for a tzorach of some kind of thing. You know, it could be that you use it afterwards to mix with various five stuff.
We have to be there for something.
Of course, otherwise it's not a malacha. So, now, if you try to tell me that the idea over here is not afer, but it's a loose term, which sometimes we call afer, we call afar afer. So maybe what it's talking about is making cement. And it really means you can't mix it now. Certainly cement can be mixed. So maybe that's why we have the machloket. But Enochinami, were it really Efer, it would just be ash. Then it's not Bar Gibul. But maybe it's talking about my Efer Afar, the Bar Gibul. But then we have another Brisa. We have another Brisa that says Afar. So is it Efer or is it Afar? Obviously, there's two different machlokas. I mean, unless you want to turn it into a contradiction, there's two different machlokas. One is talking about Efer. And even that, Rav Yossi is chaylik on, and one is talking about Afar. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't prove anything. Because these two Braitot are not in the same collection of Braitot. Midei Gabi Hadadi Tanya. These aren't in the same collection. One comes from Rav Chiya, one comes from Rav Oshia. There may simply be a difference in terminology. It's the same Braitot. I mean, why do I have to answer it? It may be that indeed. I mean, you can't prove to me that Rav Yossi would hold it if it were truly Afer, which is the equivalent of Dio, that there wouldn't be a Fiat. But certainly, according to Rebbe, there is. That we know. Now, the Braisa says, and here's the classic case of using your Shabbos clock, essentially, to do something on Shabbos. Potki mayim legina erev Shabbat ibchashecha. You can basically have your watering system go on, and it will continue to irrigate all Shabbat long. And it's not your problem. Or, before Shabbos, you could be meniach the mugmar tachat hakelim, erev Shabbos. You can go, leave the mugmar. The mugmar is the container of the various good-smelling incense that you would burn to give a good smell to your kelim. Leave it, turn it on, erev Shabbos. Let it sit there all day long and smell up your closet beautifully. Or you could meniach gofrit tachat hakelim, which is one of the ways in which you make that, what is it called, the etched silver? The black, you know, where you get the black effect around the etchings to bring out the difference between the various levels. You've seen it in the Bechers, you know.
Antiquing.
Yeah, I forgot the name for it, but there's a very simple word in English for it. So the way in which they would do this, burn sulfur under the silver. And that way all of the areas that collected it would turn black. And it would bring out where it is that you did the etching. So you could do that too, even though it's been done on Shabbos. But as long as you turn on the sulfur before Shabbos, it's not a problem. And minichi kilor al gabi ayin, or ispalanit al gabi amaka. You could take a kilor, which is a eye medication. Put it on before Shabbos, even though it's going to sit there on your eye the whole time, continuing to do its work of refuah on Shabbos. Or you could put an ispalanit on a maka, so that you have now this poultice that's going to work and taking care of your boil, and it's going to be doing its work. What you can't do is ein notim chitim l'toch harechayim shomayim ela b'chdei sheyitachanu mibod yom. What you can't do is to put a large pile of wheat into the hopper of your electric grinder or your water-powered grinder because what? My time on. I thought as long as I do it before Shabbos, not a problem. So why can't I do it? What's the difference between watering my garden on Shabbos or grinding my wheat on Shabbos? You said that's okay as long as I don't do it. On my Rabba, it's a completely different issue over here. Mipnei shemashma'at kol. The problem is that it makes a lot of noise. And making the noise, that already is a zilusa of Shabbos, because that means that the malacha is making its impact felt on Shabbos. And because of that, we don't allow it. But it's not because you're doing an isser of malacha, and not because apparently we're concerned that your kalim are working on Shabbos. That doesn't seem to bother us.
The noise of the malacha, or
Stam's
big noise?
No, the Avsha Milsa Av is something that has to do with it. This would come up for the question, for instance, of can you put dishes in an old-fashioned dishwasher and have it wash on Shabbos? Yeah, so the Shabbos is, again, the Avsha Milsa is about the commercial dishwashers. You walk by Yeshivat HaKotel 2 blocks away, you get the dishwasher going.
Is that Marasayim?
No, it's Zilusa.
No, but people will think that he's working on
Shabbos. Rashi holds it's Zilusa Bialma. There are other Shitas, but this comes up all the time. How far do we think if it's something that everybody knows that it's done? That's the question that's being raised here by Reuven.
Was the air conditioner falling for this?
That's a good question. Or a Carillion. A Carillion. One of those horrible bell things, right? the robot. Omalei Rav Yossi. Says Rav Yossi, why did you just say that the reason is because of the noise level? The reason is that you've got your grinder working on Shabbos, no? I mean, the Braita says, the Tanya, uv'chol asher amarti aleichem tishamer. What is it adding by saying, and take care of everything that I mentioned to you? I just said, Lamanya Nuach Shorchav, Charmochav, Avdachav, Yamatachav. I mean, is there anything else I have to worry about in which you throw in? And make sure you take care of the little details too. Well, what are the little details? Huh? That's now the marker, the Rabot Shvitat Kelim. See to it that the things that you own, that your grinders are grinding on Shabbos. Elam Rav Yosef, if I disagree. I think that the meaning of the last case is because the grinder is working. Elam Rav Yosef, Mishum Shvitat Kelim. I, the other cases, nothing is doing any work. It's the only case that we have. What are you doing? You're allowing water into your garden. Where is the machine that's doing the work? There's no instrument of that work. Over here, there's an actual instrument. The grinder is an instrument. So the hash of the armor, we'll go through the cases.
See, the kalim is
Rabbah. No, the Uraita. Yeah? So the hash of the armor, le Beit Hillel, eat le Shvitat Kelim. If you're going to tell me that according to Beit Hillel, there's a din, in fact, of Shvitat Kelim. And that Shvitat Kelim is, that seems to be the way Rabbi Yosef is learning. In other words, this is the normative halacha, following the Shita of Beit Hillel. And this is an issur d'oraita. So then why did we allow over here the other cases? I mean, gofrit, mugmar, isn't there? There's a container. So you have a little container in which you put the sulfur that allows the sulfur to continue to burn the whole time. That container, isn't that a kli? Yeah, it's a kli, but it doesn't do anything. It's just holding. So my time is sharu. That's Rishum de Loka Avid Maaseh. You're not doing anything. The Kli doesn't do anything. So a passive act is not a passive act. A passive malacha is not a malacha. Well, what about the case of the Onin Shel Pishtan? That's where you have the oven cooking. It's the same thing. I mean, what are you going to tell me over there? I need the oven because it also acts as an insulator, but it's still passively insulated. It's not acting. There too, it's Mishum. The lo ovid maisa. All it's doing is meinach naich. It's sitting there very calmly keeping in its seat. It's not doing an act, is it? Well, the trapping is doing an act. You got the animal walks on the spring and the door snaps shut. So that snapping shut is an act of a kli. So why isn't that awesome? So mitzudat chayava ofed agim, which now you're claiming can be an issur even according to Beit Hillel, but you're right. Shvitat kelim, forget about any gezerot over here. So my time asharu, we'll have to say that hatanami belechi v'kukli. That's talking about things that are passive, such as a fish hook or a fish trap, basket type trap. No, basket, in which no action is done. What is the basket? You have a small opening, fish comes in, can't figure out how to get out. So it's completely passive. I just allow Mr. Fishy to walk in. And when it comes to that hook, all I'm doing is dangling, looking enticing. But it's not my fault that he went ahead and bit on me, is it? I'm simply sitting here waiting for the action. So I'm passive.
Our net's different.
What do you mean? They're pulled shut?
Oh, they're not on
Shabbos. Oh, yeah, no chinami, but there's got to be some. I mean, it won't do you very much good to leave a net out before Shabbos and blow away. I mean, obviously, we thought that we're talking about something as a mechanism, whatever the cases are. As soon as it gets touched or filled, or there's something that releases a spring and closes it.
But what's the earth requiring an action?
Because. Okay, that's a fair question. I mean, what you're really saying is what would they be arguing about if there's such a concept of Shvitat Kelim, and we see that Beit Shammai asks it more, Beit Hillel asks it less. The truth is that the Torah uses two Lishonot when it comes to Shabbos. One of them, it says, the Sheshes Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, and then Beyom HaShvi'i Tishbot. And the other one, it says, Ta'aseh Kol Melachtecha. And Ta'aseh Kol Melachtecha means that all of your malacha is supposed to be completed. If all your malacha is supposed to be completed, then that means that we're talking about even passive things you don't want to be completed. The other one, though, is stressing Ta'aseh. It's the action. So that's the question. Is the Shvitat Kelim part of the action pasuk or is part of the passive pasuk? Somebody understand the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Because there's clearly two issues in the pasuk. We have to understand where they apply. So if you hold that Shvitat Keli means the action of a Kli is prohibited on Shabbos, the Ta'aseh Melacha, so then these cases would all be mutar. The Hashta, the Om Rav Oshia, Om Rav Asi, Man Tana Shvitat Keli, the Oraita Beit Shammai. However, now that we found that Rav Oshia quotes Rav Asi as saying that on the contrary, the din of Shvitat Kelim that was quoted before by Rav Yosef is actually Beit Shammai Shita, not Beit Hillel Shita. And that's the reason that Beit Hillel was matir all of the cases in the Mishnah. So therefore, we'll have to say that according to Beit Shammai, Bein Ka'avid Ma'aseh, Bein Delo Ka'avid Ma'aseh, Asur. Beit Shammai, he really doesn't make any distinction between doing a ma'aser or not, and that's why the onim shopishta, or all of those cases are usur, even though the oven is certainly passive, then Beit Hillel would be going to the opposite extreme. And he doesn't hold a shvitat kelim at all, that apagav the kavin ma'isa, it would be shori, it turns out, and then we would be having the pshat over here of the rechayim only because of avsham ilsa. And indeed, not because of Shvitat Kelim. In which case, now that you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, Afagav Delo Avid Maisa Asur. So now, the case over here without Asiyas Maisa. How are we going to explain if we learn that the din of the Rechai is in fact a din of Shvisa? How would we explain the difference between it and the other cases, of the case of the Mugmar and so on? Potkin, I understand, there's no Kli at all. But certainly a Mugmar is a Kli, isn't it? Yeah, it's a passive Kli, but you claim, according to Beit Shammai, it could be a passive Kli too, right? So then, how do we explain the Braita? In other words, I don't want to change to say, well, no, in fact, the Braita is a new din, and it's a And it doesn't involve only Beit HaMikdash. It's true according to Beit Shammai as well. Keep true to it, the way Rabbi Yosef wanted to say. Except it wasn't Beit Hillel, it was Beit Shammai. Fine, okay, it's Beit Shammai. But then you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, there's a heter, there's no kli, good. But there's also a heter for allowing the closet to be filled with incense all Shabbos long. Even though you've got an incense container, I don't understand the difference, really, between the incense holder and the oven. I mean, I understand there's a slight difference that the oven provides something, provides insulation. The incense holder is entirely just a place to put it down. But if the difference is only in terms of passivity, then what's the difference? So how do you explain Iachi Mugmar v'gofrit? How do I get the sulfur going before Shabbos? How do I get the incense going before Shabbos? My time is short, Beit Shammai. Why would Beit Shammai say that that's okay? Well, what makes you think that that was talking about that was in a kli at all? That's talking about when you put it down straight on the floor. You've got something in a cabinet on the floor, and these things are in a cabinet, and the smoke continues to rise all Shabbos long. What's the problem? What made you think there was a kli involved? The only place where there has to be kli involved was the case of the water-powered grinder. Obviously, by definition, there's a kli. So, wait, what about the case now of Nair? I mean, don't you have lamps burning, or Kedera, or Shpud? I mean, we know everybody. Would you ever find anybody argue about whether you're allowed to put your Korban Pesach in before Shabbos? I mean, for Feirish Mission, nobody argues on that. So you're allowed to cook. I mean, you're allowed to light your candles. I mean, all in all of those cases, there's a holder, and you're saying that a holder, even though it's passive, is considered to be a problem of Shvisas Kalim. So how would Beit Shammai understand all of that? You know what? He'll hold you have to be mafkir your neiros before Shabbos. So it shouldn't be your candle. Yeah, candle. I mean, a candle, of course. It's a Mosh Shabbat, which is it. But your lamp. Lamp. Your oil lamp. You have to be mafkir. If you were mafkir, how could your oil lamp be allowed to be working on Shabbos? No, you're just asking a friendly oil lamp that's not your own to do some work. But I mean, I certainly would never ask my own oil lamp to burn on Shabbos. That's how it'll have to last.
A silver one.
What can you do? I mean, a smart guy who isn't all that mocked but on Muksa would go around collecting them, I guess. Man tana lahat tana rabbanan. Lo temalei isha kideira asasiyot v'tur mesin v'taniach v'toch ha'tanur erev Shabbos im chashecha v'im natnan motzei Shabbat asurim b'chdei sheyasu. The Braisa over here says a very interesting halacha. You're not allowed to take these various types of legumes and put them into an oven. These are things that require an awful lot of cooking in order to be ready. They're generally left all day long, and then you take them out at night. So you shouldn't put this in Erev Shabbos before Shabbos. And if you did, you can't eat them at Erev Shabbos because that means that they were cooked.
Cold.
No. Getting there. We're getting there. No, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. You're going to have children coming out of your ears by the time we finish this. So, you know, don't worry. Speaking of which, everyone is invited to the Shabbat Chatan this week of Reuven, to the Kiddush Nor HaChaim, which is be about 10:30. So, very happy to see you all there. So anyway, getting back, sorry, but I knew I would forget. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, to rely on you to remind me things that way. Yeah. All right. So over here, these are things that if you did put it in before Shabbos, you didn't do anything on Shabbos. It's now Mitzvah Shabbos. You're ready to open up your tanur and have a wonderful Moav HaMalka. You're not allowed to eat them. You'd have to spend enough time as it would take to cook them in the first place before that way you're not being nene from what was done on Shabbat. Furthermore, Kayot Sebo, you also have another case of Lo Yemalei Nachtom B'chavit Shel Mai V'yaniach L'toch HaTanur Erev Shabbos Yibchashecha V'masakein L'motzei Shabbat Asurim B'chdei Sheyasu So I'm sure you want to get yourself a lot of hot water ready to do your dishes, mitzvah shabbos. You take now the big pot, fill it up with water, let it heat over Shabbos in the tanur, which has been cooling down from before. And now you take it out, you got yourself hot water. You can't use that hot water. So how do we explain this? Is this all what?
An achto.
A baker?
Yes, my thought.
Hmm. So, I mean, well, he's the one who's got the that's what they everybody used to come into the baker. Nobody had a private even until very recently. Meir Shor and maybe Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, everybody was running with their cholent to bring it to the Nachton. Yeah.
The
last Mishlai movie,
the
Bruch HaBidim,
was the public
bakery
for the church.
So yeah, you had a Meir Shalom also, the old, Londoner, the old Londoner bakery. So we use Lashon HaRachum, he's the one who's got it.
Is there a problem keeping the boiler on over Shabbos?
We're just starting the sugya.
Of course.
So now, does that mean that this is all Beit Shammai? Because the problem is that your oven is doing work, but according to Beit Hillel, there'd be no problem. Says Gemara, no, you're not taking into consideration a whole different issue, which brings us straight to Cholent land. Afilu tema Beit Hillel, we got another problem. Gzera Shema Yachate B'Gechalim. If you're trying to keep things warm, then you've got a problem of maybe turning up the fire. And if you do that, then of course you will be chayav on Shabbos. And so in order to avoid that, Beit Hillel is the motive that we have a Gzera, you can't do any of these things. So if that's the case, then why don't we have that problem with the Mugmar and the Gofrit? You're telling me that when it comes to things that are burning, we have to take into consideration something else entirely, besides Shvitat Kelim, namely, that you may adjust the flames. So then anything that involves burning has got that problem. Well, two of the cases that you were matir, and namely, the case of the incense and the case of the sulfur, both were burning. So why aren't we concerned that you'll adjust the flames over there? So Gnami leads on. No, Hatam lo matir. No way that you will poke on those coals on Shabbos. Because the imachte, salik bahu kutra, the kashilahu. If you do that, you create smoke, and if it starts smoking, it ruins your clothes in the closet. On the contrary, this thing, you have to be very careful with this thing, not to have any kind of poking on it, and you'll ruin your silver if you've got the sulfur suddenly smoking over it. And so, mamela, that's not a problem. But when it comes to the case of keeping the water hot, well, you might get the feeling that it'd be nice to poke it a bit, or get my tourmasin all ready for Mitzvah Shabbos. Those are the things that those Druze sell all the time up in the Golan. The little packages of tourmasin. They're famous for it, huh? Big white beans. Yeah, like lima beans. Yeah. Sounds much more exotic when you call them tourmasin. Did you have to tell everybody your lima beans?
Lufa. If Beit Shammai would answer as Midoraisa.
Answer the product?
No, well, answer the act,
the right. Answer the act, right.
Wouldn't it be stuff that was cooked on Shabbos? Would they say that they should answer Beit Shammai? Or they would. How could it be?
You're not being very clear, but I think what you're asking is that if Beit Shammai answers something Midoraisa, it makes sense to answer Bethesda Yasu. Ashenkin, if it's only time Gezerah, would we answer it even if they Shi'asu, or would we?
I would if you could do it, they would answer if they Shi'asu, but if it's also derived, so.
Should we ever allow it?
Yeah, I mean, if you couldn't.
Because of Maisa Shabbos? Okay, yeah. We'll see later on about Maisa Shabbos. Not always. Not all Maisa Shabbos are also to everyone but Shabbos. So we have a new din. Okay, but we're not worried about Shema Yachta. This word Shema Yachta is going to be with us a long time. So just remember those words. Shema, Yachateh, we're afraid you're going to be choteh, you're going to poke on the coals, or you take a shovel and get the coals heated again. Stoke is the word, thank you. And that Shema Yachateh is not a concern when it comes to the sulfur, to the case of the mukma. And how about the onen shel pishtan, huh? What are you going to do about that? I mean, you were certainly not concerned with the smokiness when it comes to the pishtan. Pishtan's a mess anyway. So this is part of the whitening process and the loosening process of the pishtan. Why don't we gozer over there? That you want the heat to keep going during Shabbos may stoke the flames. Now, there, you've got another problem. There, even the kashlu zika lo megalele. In order to stoke the flames, you have to open the door of the oven. But if you open up the door of the oven, you're allowing in air. If you allow air into the pishta, then they have a chemical reaction which messes up the pishta. The whole idea is the thing has to be in a place where it's not mixed with oxygen, and then it breaks down. There's enzymes on it after getting it wet. And if you expose it to the air, you mess it up. So why would anybody open up the door of the tanur? It's also not a problem. Well, how about the other case? How about the case of putting in the wool into the dye vat? So why aren't we choshish that you're going to be stoking the flames to get the dye properly into your wool? Or marshua biyore akura. It's talking over there that you took the vat off of the fire. So what? There are no flames. The question was entirely, as far as Beit Shammai was concerned, the act of dying. The dye vat is doing an isser on Shabbos because it's dying for you, but not cooking. So there's no problem. Well, but isn't there a problem of Shema Megis? Maybe he will stir it. And when you stir something that's cooking, then that becomes a cooking, even though it's not on the fire, if that's the derech to cook it. So why aren't we harsh for that? Oh, it's talking about akura v'tucha. It's not only off the flames, but it's also sealed. So that in order to avoid anybody poking at it, we took the cover and we sealed it with a little bit of glue or teat, which is the regular way to seal, to prevent the kids from bothering it. And there's no problem. There's no fire to stoke. And there's no cover that you're going to easily remove. In order to remove it, you're going to have to pry it up. And by the time you pry it up, I'm not supposed to be doing this job. So it's not, in other words, we're worried about a spontaneous act, which the person simply forgets for a moment that it's Shabbos. But if he's got to pry it off, we're not worried. Now that we get to the issue of worrying about maybe you're going to turn up the fire, now we can start talking about the cholin. So, if you've got a pot that has things in it that are raw, then you are allowed to put it down on the flames, Erev Shabbos, because since it's going to take a long time for it to cook, he has no interest now of having it ready right away. He knows it takes hours and hours. So over there, we're not afraid that he's going to turn up the flames. The case before of the turmasim, which needed to cook all day long, that's something else. That's because even with all of the cooking, they won't be ready. But over here, the cholent will be ready by the morning. You're not choshish that you need to be choite. And so memela, we have now two levels. Things that are very difficult to cook, which are also even when they're chaya, even when they're completely raw, which was the case of the asasiyot and the turmasim. And then we have standard things, but clearly, there's not enough time to get them ready by tonight. And there we also have no shash. You can leave it on.
So you can put it on raw right before Shabbos.
But not if it's semi-run. In other words, not if it can still cook up in time.
Don't worry about tonight.
Then you have mechashish.
For
gechot, the bigger calling. My time. Akivet olachazi liyurta, suche mesach daite b'nei. Since you're not going to be able to use it tonight anyway, see, they don't think about it now. V'lo'ati l'chatuya b'kecholim. And there's no problem. How about if it's bashil, if it's fully cooked? Also sharper dummy, not a problem. Our problem is bashil v'lo bashil. Where it's semi-cooked, there you got a problem. And that's also. However, ishada be'garma chaya, if you take in now one piece of meat or one bone, which is raw, you're not going to eat this with raw stuff mixed in it. You're going to wait until the whole thing cooks up again. And then that means, once again, you're going to be mesalik your das from it. And that would not be a problem. Furthermore, so that's the first issue, the chot b'gechol. You also raised another issue, which is the opening up of the door in cases where you prefer not to expose something to the air. Now that also has a big impact on cooking. as far as Shabbos is concerned, because Hashtag Yama Mara Kol Midi the Kashal Zika Lo Megalulai. Anything which you don't want exposed to the air. Well, when you're cooking gedi, which is very soft, and you want the meat to be soft, so high bisra the gadya. And if you have a case in which you're cooking gedi, vishori, and the door is also sealed, so you've got two issues. You really don't want to open the door because it's going to expose it to the oven. And furthermore, you're not going to come to just casually open the door because it's sealed. That for sure is not a problem, right? That's shopper dummy. On the other hand, let's take the other extreme. You're talking about barcha. Barcha is now an older ram that you're cooking. And over there, it's something which on the contrary requires, it's tough meat and so on. So over there, the door, first of all, you wouldn't care about opening. Furthermore, you didn't close the door in such a way that it's difficult to get open. So that's for sure also, because that's the other extreme. You have two things wrong. You don't mind about its opening, and there's nothing to prevent you from casually opening it. The question is, if you've got one thing that's good, in other words, let's say you have a gadya, but it's low sharik. So the gadya itself, I don't want to be exposed to the air. It toughens the meat. But I still might casually open it, because I didn't seal the door. Or, how about a barcha? Well, I don't care if I open it, but I did seal the door. So you have one reason to be matir. And then we have a machlokas, Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Asir. One holds, that Rav Ashi holds, as long as you have one reason not to be makbir, then that's sufficient. And Rav Ashi says, the Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, says it's mutter. What do we do with the Ein Solin Basar, Batsal, Ubeitza, Elekadeshi Yitzolu, the Mishnah says beferish that you cannot put into tzli. You're not allowed to roast. Okay, we'll see. We could be talking about barbecues also. So you ain't selling buser tzli ubeitza elakadeshi yitzalu mi ba'odion, that you're not allowed now to start the process of roasting, whether it's meat, or whether it's onions, or whether it's eggs, unless it'll be ready by Shabbos. What do we do with that? It says, Beferish ain't solen basar. We'll have to say that according to Rav Ashi, it says it's mutar, that's talking about the case that's here, it says asur, that's where it's got both reasons to be afraid. It's barcha, and barcha is tough, and you don't care if it's exposed to the air. And furthermore, the door is not secured. Velo sharik. So there's no reason to be matir. Remember, Rav Ashi said you need at least one reason to be matir. Either you won't casually open it, or you don't want to open it. Now, Ikari Amri, others learn, they take it to the full extreme, that the gadya bein sharik, bein lo sharik, shapir dami. If you've got a gdi that you don't want to be exposed to the air, there's no problem, and there's no need to secure the door. A barcha nami, and even if it's a barcha where you don't care if you expose it to the door, to the air, and the door is closed and secured, it's also no problem. The machlokas Rav Ashi and Rav Yirmiyah was in a case where it's a barcha v'lo sharik. Now, this is very surprising, that Rav Ashi is being matir, even though there's no reason, apparently, to be matir. The Mishnah says, Beferish ain't solin basar. And nonetheless, he says that if it's a type of meat which is barcha, and that's the worst case, because you don't mind opening the door. And the tanur has a door that's easily opened and is not secured. He's still saying it's mutter. Over there, Rav Ashi is shari, and Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Asir. Now how do we explain Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi the shari vatznan. What do we do about the Mishnah? Ein solin basar batzal beitza. Ela kadeshi yitzolumi ba'od yom. Ah, that's talking about a barbecue. Hatam the bisra agumri. There's no door at all. So you are making a barbecue. I mean, that's the thing that demands the most poking. I mean, every constantly looking over it. And, is it burning? I mean, that's half of the fun of the barbecue. Is you got to be looking at it and pouring new stuff on it and poking on it and so on. Somebody else? So there, a barbecue, enochinami, Ravashi is modeh. But the case where the gechalim are covered, the case where the gechalim are covered, then it's not a problem. Is that the chalit, maybe? The kugel, maybe it's... Is that the kugel? I'm afraid this was the kugel. Call the kugel man back right away. Go to my received calls. I forgot. The kugel guy, I hung up on him. I thought he knew where to bring the kugel. It could be he's got a different shmiah. Oh, yeah. Omer Ravina, Hai kara chaya shapir dummy. If you're going to be cooking raw pumpkins, oh my goodness, good thing Siona's not here today.
Yeah.
You're gonna be putting in pumpkins now into bake for Shabbos. There, it's so sensitive. So even the kashi lezika kibisa the gadya dummy, that would have the same din as the soft meat of the gedi. You wouldn't want to open the door on a pumpkin. Beit Shammai Omri. In Mochrim, now we had another question. Are you allowed to sell to a goy right before Shabbos, and he's going to be carrying your things out before Shabbos? But Shammai says you're not allowed to be Mocher, Chepso, Venochri. You can't lend him anything. V'lo yashilenu, v'lo yalvenu. You can't lend him money. V'lo yitemo b'matana. Ela kadeshi yagi elevito. He's got to get home before Shabbos.
Even if it's his.
Even if it's his. Doesn't need to get home. He needs to get close to home. In other words, a place where he's already able to deposit his clothes or whatever you gave him. It's not your business to get it to his house. It's not your business anything. Just get him out of your house. As long as he gets out of your house, then there's no chashash of people thinking you're doing business on Shabbos or you're shaleach somebody on Shabbos. We'll see what the issues are over here. B'chlal, there's a lot of major questions of what the basis of any issur with an akum are. Even Amir la'akum, major machlokes of what's the basis of that issur. Omer Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, hein hein divrei Reb Akiva, hein hein divrei Beit Hillel. Don't misunderstand this. It's not that Reb Akiva is being chaylik on Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. He's simply explaining that the presentation of Beit Hillel here is mistaken. Lo bar Rabbi Akiva lo faresh divrei Beit Hillel. All that Rabbi Akiva is saying is that the way the Tana says over here that Beit Hillel isn't makpid, that it has to get to his home, but he is makpid, that it has to get somewhere, is not true. He's not makpid, that it has to get somewhere. It doesn't have to get anywhere. As long as it's out of his house.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, I was right. It was the kugel man. And here we're talking about it. We're talking about the sugya. And it happens to us right in the middle of the sugya. And we don't even remember that he's coming.
You've got to keep it going.
Can't see him walking out of the house.
That's how you have drove
on him. On Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Yeah.
They see him walking out of the house.
Then it's a problem.
But once he's out of the house.
Once he's out of the house before Shabbos, what's in my business what he does?
Okay. Now, that...
to be continued, 9:30 is good?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? That's Shabbos?
The gazer we had before was Dafka. It's only his wallet.
Huh?
Only his wallet. Before his mirror keys.